The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Dave is gone, obviously, and he asked me to speak today, and I'm very grateful that he did. I really like being able to share with you guys what the Lord has been teaching me. And I actually, before I started preparing this message, I thought I kind of had a handle on what I'm sharing, but then as I started preparing it and really focusing on it over the past week, I found out that I'm pretty terrible at it, which is how God works, I think. We're going to look today at worship in warfare, in our spiritual warfare. Dave spoke on Ephesians, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and on the armor of God, and we all know we are in a spiritual battle, and Satan is our enemy, and we are at war every day. We face battles. And to think otherwise is just really setting ourselves up for failure. And so something that I really like about the Bible is that in the Old Testament, there's tons of actual physical battles. There's real warfare between Israel and the rest of the world, pretty much. And we can learn a lot from studying the Old Testament and this physical warfare and applying those truths and principles to our spiritual warfare. Something I want to look at today is 2 Chronicles 20. That's where we're going to be. And I don't remember when it was exactly. It was back at the middle school, but Dave spoke on this passage a while ago. And I'm just going to kind of come at it from a different angle because it really shows worship's part in warfare, in physical warfare, and obviously we can take some principles and apply them to our spiritual warfare, because we will find that worship plays a really important part in warfare in the Old Testament, and so we can know that it plays an important part in our spiritual warfare as well. And when I say worship, I don't necessarily just mean singing songs like we do before and after service. Worship is really just a mindset. It is a way of living. It is basically telling God that he is worthy and we are grateful for who he is, and we are privileged to even have the right and the opportunity to approach him in worship. And so worship can be singing, it can be prayer, it can be writing. I think any form of art really could be worship. The way we live our lives is supposed to be a type of worship. And so that's what I'm talking about, raising God up and telling him how awesome he is and focusing our eyes on him and above our own situation. So if we look at 2 Chronicles 20, I'm going to give you a quick summary just starting the chapter. Jehoshaphat is king, and he's a good king of Israel. There's terrible kings, and there's good kings, and he's a good one. And these people come to him. This guy comes to him and says, a huge army is coming your way, and in fact, they're almost here. And so verse 3 of chapter 20 is where we're going to start. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. The first thing I want to notice that Jehoshaphat does in his specific physical battle is that when he sees the battle coming, he looks to God first. And I've always really admired this part of Scripture just because so many times when something happens to me or I face a battle, it takes me a while to kind of turn to God and remember, oh yeah, God's in control. I kind of try to figure it out myself and panic a little bit first, but the first thing Jehoshaphat is turns to God. And really, that's what worship does for us. When we look at him, we can't really be looking at our situation. And we admit and tell him that he is worthy and he is awesome and he is good. When we worship him, we can't help but remind ourselves of how strong and powerful and mighty our God is. And so we turn to him, we resolve to look at him. Jehoshaphat also, in verse 12, this is where he's praying to God, basically begging him to save them. He says, oh, our God, Will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I feel like every day lately I've been saying, I don't know what to do, or I don't know what's going on, or quite how to get a handle on things in my life. And I think that's okay to say, to tell God, I don't know what to do, but you do. And if we can look at him and worship him in a heart of reverence and praise and thanksgiving, then he will get us on the right track. Something else that's really neat in this prayer, and I think this is a form of worship, verses 6 through 12, is Jehoshaphat really focuses on who God is, on God's identity. And that's the second thing I want us to notice, that when faced with a battle, Jehoshaphat focuses on God's identity, on who he is. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. So right away, he's telling God in a form of worship and ultimately reminding himself and his people of who God is. That he is the one who rules over all kingdoms, and that power and might are in his hand, and no one can withstand him. And that's what worship is. We look to God and we remind ourselves of the God that we serve, that the God that we serve is the God that saved Israel from Egypt and split the Red Sea, the God who did all these miracles in the Old Testament, the God who was willing to die on a cross for us and rise 3 days later. That is our God. And if we can just focus on even one of his attributes when we are facing a battle and worship him for that attribute, just his omniscience or his omnipresence, it will kind of make everything else fade. And one of my absolute favorite hymns is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And the chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And it's so true. When we really focus on God and who he is and how awesome and wonderful and loving he is, everything else sort of fades away. And that is a great thing about worshiping in warfare. It's a great tool and advantage against the enemy. Jehoshaphat also remembers the works that God has done. In verse 7, he says, Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And so not only does he remind himself and his people of who God is, but also of what God has already done for them in driving out the people of the land. When the Israelites first got there and the spies went out, only Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we can take this land. Everyone else thought, no way, it's too hard, we're not going to be able to do it. But God did. He delivered them in very miraculous, awesome ways and gave them the land. And so Jehoshaphat is reminding himself and his people through his worship, through his prayer, of what their God has done. And I think so often in my life, at least, when something happens or I face a battle or some sort of trial, I always let it sort of block and give me amnesia, and I forget everything that God has already done for me and the ways that countless times he has gotten me through and delivered me, and just the fact that he saved me in the beginning is enough. And we can never let our current situation, our current battle, our current foe take our eyes off of or make us forget, erase what God has already done for us, because that's powerful too. And you see throughout the Old Testament when people pray to God or praise God, especially in the Psalms, they oftentimes will remind themselves of what God has already done for their people. Verses 13 through 20, we're not going to read, but after this prayer, after begging God to deliver them, God speaks through a man and tells Jehoshaphat, basically, I have heard your cry. this battle is mine. You will not have to fight, and I will deliver you. I love what he says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Which is true for us. I think we forget, too, that we've already won the battle, that God has already ultimately won it. And Dave said that a couple weeks ago, that we need to fight from victory, not for victory, knowing that we face all these sort of, I guess, skirmishes in between. But in the end, we have won. Our God has won. Death and sin have been defeated. And so we need to remember that when we go into battle, that it's God's battle, not ours. We can't fight Satan by ourselves. It won't go well. When Jehoshaphat goes into battle, the next day, God tells him, I will fight for you. You just go to battle and don't worry about it. And when they go the next day, Jehoshaphat makes sure that the worshipers are at the front of the army. Verse 21 says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. When Dave spoke on this passage, he actually said, chart the course with praise. And that's what Jehoshaphat is doing. It's kind of a weird strategy, I think, in physical warfare to lead with your choir. And I was thinking about this morning. I wish I would have thought of it sooner so I could look it up. But I remember in school forever ago, we were learning about the Civil War or some war long ago. And we were looking at, there were drummers going out in front. And I remember thinking, I would hate to be the guy with a drum in war. You know, I'd like to have a weapon. And so I just thought of that today. Because when you think about it, you don't really want to be the choir out in front. You want to have a sword or something. But ultimately, Jehoshaphat knew that they are the weapons. And that their praise is what will move mountains for the Lord. And something else that I thought was pretty neat when, you know, Dave's been talking forever about putting God on display. And putting God on display by pushing back the darkness. Which is an act of war, pushing back the darkness. And it's also kind of a weird strategy. In our spiritual warfare, it's weird when you see someone who's going through something really hard and yet they have a good attitude or are praising the Lord. And I think there are few things that put God on display like that does. That if you are truly facing something difficult, you can still worship God for who he is and know that he is worthy despite what we go through. And that really does shine a light in our world and is, I mean, even among believers, it's refreshing, I think. Thanks. Rick Pino is a worship leader and an artist, and I think he's really awesome. But I saw his quote online this week, and it said, fear and worship cannot coexist. And that is ultimately why worship is such a powerful weapon in warfare, because when we are worshiping God and we are really in his presence and we are just telling him and reminding ourselves of who our God is and how powerful he is and how awesome he is, we cannot be afraid. It's impossible to be afraid and truly be focused on who we serve. And Satan uses fear as a weapon. He uses doubt, uncertainty, all of those awful things that we are plagued with every day. And if we can push those aside and worship our God like Jehoshaphat does, he knows that his army is outnumbered, they're not prepared, but he knows that his God is going to deliver him. Our God already has delivered us. And so there really is nothing to fear. This week, the whole week, I've been thinking, okay, I'm going to speak about worship and how when we're in a difficult situation, we should be worshiping. And then it was like, bam, just attack after attack. And I mean, we're moving into our house and we have a newborn. That in its own is just unreal. And then we have a bunch of other stuff going on. And over again, I kept thinking, okay, I really should just worship God right now because I'm about to explode. And it was so hard. And then I kept thinking, oh, yeah, because it's a battle and it's not easy. And then I was thinking, I'm supposed to speak on this on Sunday, and I can't do it. And the truth is that it's not easy. It's very difficult when we're facing something hard to be able to just set that aside. I'll be like singing a worship song, but actually thinking about everything else that's going on. To truly push it out of our mind and just focus on God is hard. It's very difficult. And to praise him and thank him, even though we're hurting or suffering or unsure of things that are going to happen, is very hard. I'm not saying it's easy, and I honestly, seriously struggled with it this week. I'm just going to be transparent with you. But it is nonetheless the right thing to do. We worship God because of who he is, because he is worthy, nothing else. Not because of what we face or what he has done for us, although it's hard not to worship him for that. And so this morning, I'm going to give you a chance to practice. My message is complete, but church is not over. We are going to worship some more. I've put together a few more songs than just the one that we usually do at the end. And we're just going to have a time of worship. And I want you guys to be able to use this time to practice just telling God and reminding yourself of how great he is. That is what worship is. We're not doing any of this to say, God, you're awesome, please get me out of this situation. We are just going to remind ourselves of the God that we serve, and we are going to worship him. And that will be a mighty act of warfare against the enemy. Worship team, if you guys will come back up front. Danny said our band name is Daughters of Eve. I don't think it is. I've purposely put together a list of songs that really focus on just God. Not so much what he's done for us or who we are in God, but who God is and the God that we serve. So I hope that'll kind of help push you in the right direction. You can use this time however you would like. You can stand and sing. You can sit and sing. You can kneel and sing. You can dance. You can write. I like to write as a form of worship. Pray. Sit and do nothing. Whatever you would like. This is your time of worship, and however you worship your king is up to you. So if you would like to stand, please do so. If you don't want to, that's okay. I'm going to close my eyes. Let's pray, and then we will enter into worship. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just who you are and how awesome you are, and I thank you so much for your word and that we have so many promises and examples and pictures of what you have done and will always do for your people. And how, no matter how awful the odds seem, you always come through. Because like Dave said last week, ultimately all of our problems, no matter how huge they are tiny to you. And I just ask, Lord, that you would come and fill this place with your presence. Speak to hearts this morning. Help us all to set aside our distractions. I know we are all very burdened, busy, overwhelmed, strapped down by many things. And I ask that you would just come through this place, lift those burdens, lift those distractions. Help us to just enter in to who you are and to worship you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.